Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 305, part 2, the conclusion to self-control. Today is Sunday, August 18th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Why struggle with your struggle? Accept it. Accept life the way it comes to you. Oh, life's dealt me a terrible hand. What? Hey, praise God for the struggle and the pressure and the defeat. And I know you, hey, you guys out there, the charismatic crazies, and a lot of them are going totally crazy out there. I said there's struggles in this life, and if it sounds negative, it's the truth. Why struggle with the Word of God? Jesus said, in this life, you will have persecution. Struggle. I don't like this message. I want to be free. I want to be delivered from all struggles. Hey, you have to struggle to get one leg to go ahead of the other. Okay. On your lip, 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 oh, lip, lip, right, left, right. You had a good home, but you left, you left. You had a good home, but you left. Why? To get into the struggle, to get into the war. Struggle. That's what it's all about. You cannot hope to win except at the price of a struggle. Well, you say, I'd like to do that. There's a struggle involved. I'd like to sing. Oh, as a struggle. Are you hearing it? And so we try to get out of that. We try to claim it in the name of Jesus that we will not have. We will not suffer persecution. That is the curse. And a guy come to me, a preacher came to me, he says, you know what? I found a jewel in the Bible. And the Spirit spoke to me, and I was wondering, what Spirit? We do not have to tithe. We are not under the law. I says, I know. Now you can give your life. Give everything you have. You're not under, you're under grace now. You give your life. You give everything. Your house, your car, all your money. Struggle with that one. of people struggling with the Word of God. And it says, don't wrestle the Scriptures to your own destruction. Now, going on after that little tirade. But anyway, it is not a unique situation, is it? Is it? You struggled to get out of your mother's womb and you're still struggling. And so the life of faith is costly. The life I now live, I live by faith. It costs you something. You want to know when your faith life is right on? When there ain't a whole lot of people that like you. You want to become, oh, I pray I become more Christ-like. I want to be the most Christ-like man that ever walked. Well, get ready for your cross. Get ready for stones and whips and thorns and struggle. But if you want to get away from it and you want to leave the struggle and you want to go over someplace and just sit in a little head shrinking group and, you know what I mean? And just get over there and just sit over there and play, what? Play Christian? Are you listening on the radio? Play Christian, away from the struggle, away from the noise, away from doing anything, and just go over there in the high steeple, do nothing church, or get into a little group and just play guitar and just sit there and make up songs and just sit there and just go totally insane. I said it, and I am glad. There are so many groups that go totally insane trying to get out of this. You know when you go nuts? When you get out of the struggle. Did you know that? That people fall apart when their kids leave and everybody leaves? Their whole total life, they want to get out of the struggle? My dad died when he was 87. He was still going strong. Why is that? He didn't get out of the struggle. You really want to be bored with your life? Get out of the struggle. Get out of the tension. Worry about what people might say. Well, I'd do that, but I don't know if it looked just right. I mean, hey, you're only going to live so long, you could drop dead tomorrow. Do you know that? I was thinking about it today. I thought, man, just think about it. Today may be my day. Might be the last day I brush my teeth. Now, listen, on the radio, there's probably some of you out there wishing it would be, but it might not be. It might live to be 100 years old or plus. You never know. Well, I'm going to struggle as long as I'm here. If it's one day or 100 years, I'm in the struggle. I want to be in the struggle. I want to be in the struggle. Don't you? When you go, you get home and the different kids have picked on you. Why is everybody picking on me? And you get, there's three girls, and there should never be three girls together because only two of them jive together. You know what I mean? The third one has to get kicked out. Have you ever been that way where the third one gets kicked out and they pick on you and you know, slap you and call you four eyes and all that, huh? Huh? Ever been in a situation like that? Never? How about you? You ever been in a situation like that? Call you four eyes? Huh? Call you wimpy or whatever? Huh? You ever been in like that? Sure you have. Yeah. You know why? Because you're meant for that. That's a struggle. Your character will grow in that. Huh? Why do they do that? Sometimes it's jealousy. The teacher says, now, here's a paper. Look at this paper. Everybody do like this guy. Well, you did your homework. You got it done right. They didn't want to struggle. See? You struggle and people hate you for it. That's the way it goes. Huh? Get used to it. If you're a struggler, you're not going to be liked. It's only when you lay down, people. Isn't he nice? He's sort of a laid-back guy. Let's just laid back. What does that mean, laid back? Huh? Dead? In a casket? The guy's so laid back, I don't believe it. Isn't it laid? He just laid back. Oh, he's so laid back. Huh? Don't ever say I'm laid back. I'm on top of that. Come on. Over here. You know, not laid back. Oh, and so it's costly to walk this life of faith, and there's always a struggle. So these people in the Bible found it to be so. And so these heroes of the faith, you know what happened to them? They were stoned. Huh? They were sawed in half. You know, you see these where they have these circus things where they actually saw somebody in half. Well, they actually sawed him in half. That's where they got that idea. Actually sawed him in half. Why? Because they were in the faith struggle. You really want to faith people, you really want to move in faith, then you're not going to be liked. I'm talking about really moving in faith. They were sworded down. That means they were thrust through with a sword. It says they wandered about in sheepskins. They were destitute. They were afflicted. They were tormented. They wandered in the deserts and dens and caves. Well, what else would they have done with their time? Huh? What else was there to do? All these other people were doing was sitting around talking about, oh, he's out in the desert now. Hope he dies out there. No, he didn't die yet. Well, let's try stoning the old guy. Huh? Yeah, no, he's still alive. Well, at least you give the people something to talk about while you're in the struggle. You're generous. I mean, you just keep right on going in faith. When you move in faith, I'm talking about what the Bible portrays about people that moved in faith. They were stoned, they were sorted through, they were jabbed, they were put in prison, they were stoned. But they gave the people something to talk about. They were good copy. They were the walking, talking epistles known and read of all men, don't you know? Hey, they were in the struggle. Were they weird? No, they were Christ-controlled, so they were having fun while they were in the struggle. Does that sound weird? You're not of this world. You're in it, but you're not of it, so you're going to seem weird. But I think one thing, I look in the Bible, I thought, oh, how grandly they lived because they dared to pay the price for such living. Do you dare to pay the price? You're listening on the radio. Do you dare to pay the price? Bible says, count the cost. Count the cost. How much is it going to cost you to be a good student? To get all A's and have the teacher put you up in front of the room. No, this young man or this young lady got all A's. And they really struggled this year. They struggled with their mathematics. They struggled with English. And they're the top of the heap. You know what your reward will be sometimes? Well, people won't like you sometimes. You'll have to pair off with some other weirdos that like to study and make something out of themselves. Huh? Does that bother you? Don't let it bother you. You'll be their boss in about 10 years. Oh, come on now. Somebody has to do it. Somebody has to struggle to be a leader to help people out. That's why everybody goes to see Superman. People are looking for a leader. So they check out a guy that's got a wire in the seat of his pants. You know what I mean? The guy, I read where he had a bad back and shoulders from the wires they put on the guy. Superman. From trying to make him fly with these wires on the back of his trousers. But people are so much want a savior. And we got him. And so their savior is Superman. Oh, I seen Superman. This is the best Superman I ever seen. Oh, man. He saved the whole universe. He said, okay, now you guys want to have war and everything. And he took all the bombs and everything. And he took them way up into the, the ionosphere, way, way high up there. I can't get the terminology right. But it was a long ways up there, okay, Jack? I mean, it was way up there and blew them all up. And that's what they're going for. So you're going to have to struggle to become a realistic leader, and you preachers are going to have to struggle to become realistic preachers in this age of fantasy. In this age of make-believe, you're going to have to become a realistic, be realistic, give your life to Jesus Christ, go on no matter what the cost, and just count the cost and then say, I'm willing to pay the price and go on out there and do the thing. Hey. Did you hear it, preachers? It's getting kind of quiet on the radio. But anyway, John, the author of the Revelations, let me finish, pictures the life of the saint as one that clashes with conflict. And the picture he gives us of those who have won are those who have come through the great tribulation. When he tells us how they won, he makes it plain that their victory was due partly, in fact, that they did not count their lives dear unto themselves. You hearing this? And so he constantly in the Word of God pictures the business of being a Christian as an earnest, but not only an earnest, a very costly business. It costs you something. It costs you. You're not going to be always respected. Was Jesus respected? Was Jesus popular? No. It says he didn't have a place to lay his head. Didn't know what the next day might have in store for him. But he suffered for the joy that was before him. Paul, we'll get back to Paul here. Paul was thrown in much, I believe, as the Bible points it out, with soldiers, because he's always talking about races and gladiators and so on like that. And so in the Bible you find that his language is saturated with the spirit of stadium and the battlefield. But now he's in the ring and he says, So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. In other words, I want to connect with Satan's jaw. I want to get into the struggle. Now when you come to do Christ's work, you're going to meet head on with Satan. You want to put out Satan's headlights. Then we see him on the track. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I have finished my course. What are you in the race for? Why did you accept Christ for? To get into the battle and to get into the race. Next, we find Paul on the battlefield. And he says, put on the complete armor of God so that you may be able to stand. And to stand your ground in the evil day, and having fought to the end, to remain victors on the field. I read that and I thought, boy, is that really the truth of the life about a Christian? When you really get involved, when you really start living out the scriptures, you find out that, hey, this is exactly what I'm going through right now. When I first read this, when I first got saved, I thought, well, that don't mean nothing to me. But the more I started walking in faith and doing those works of Jesus Christ, the more real it became to me. And so I thought to myself, put on the complete armor of God. Yeah, that's exactly what you have to do. So that you may be able to stand your ground in that evil day. Yeah. And having fought to the end, to remain victors on the field. You have to stand in the middle of the battle over and over and over again and be Christ-controlled, Christ self-controlled in your life to just stand there. And so how did these saints anyway come by their conviction that to be a Christian involved conflict? They learned some of it through their own experiences. I'll tell you, I have learned more through experiences than I ever would have learned going to Bible college for the rest of my life. You're going to learn through experiences. Jim, in your ministry, I'm sure you've learned a lot down there about the grace message. Could you, of course it would be impossible, but I'll ask the question for the audience, the radio audience. Could you, or would you think that a person that was real legal could take your job and go down there and minister to the hobos? How long would that person last down there? A legal person with a long, skinny, legal nail pointing it on top of some of these guys down there. How long would they last there? Not very long, would they? They'd thump their Bible about three times, and then they'd thump him on the head about four. That'd be the end of them. Isn't that right, Jim? Go on down there and get real legal. Go on down there and just be a total phony. And just walk down there with all, and never get angry. You know what I mean? See, because the Bible doesn't say never get angry. It says, don't go to sleep on your anger. See, the thing with me is if I get angry, I don't sleep the next night. So I don't have to worry about going to sleep on my anger because I can't sleep. God helps me. I don't go to sleep. Well, how long would you last, Jim, if you just didn't have any kind of, struggle with this thing down there? I mean, every time you drive in here and you look, you see these guys standing outside there. You get yourself ready for a struggle. Basically, you set yourself up and you're ready for a conflict and struggle. You know that it's going to be conflict and struggle every time you get out. Some nights it's going to be worse than other nights. How long do you think a person would last if they were one of those legal persons? And you go on down there and you say, do you know what the Word of God says about your drinking? You're going to go to hell. There's a great big pit, and it's around and around. It's an old slimy pit, and it goes right down into a funnel. It'll take you right down to hell. I can see you burning right now. You know those guys that preach like that? If they don't preach like that, that's the way they feel. Oh, he's going to hell. If anybody goes to hell, that man's going. The Bible says, judge not. In the manner that you judge and think a person's going to hell, you'll get there before they do. How long do you think I'd last down here in a mission? Now it takes a special kind of a preacher to be down here in this mission, let me tell you. And the most of the trouble comes from Christians. It doesn't come from the people down there. It doesn't come from the unsaved. It comes from the saved. I'm glad I said that. The most of my problems down here has been with the so-called saved. Boy, it's getting quiet on the radio. Not a slurp, not a Frito-Lay snap, nothing. Ooh. Oh, God. Whew. Is it self-control? I think it is. Unless it's self-control controlled through Christ, there's something wrong with it. If you're listening on the radio and that hits you, then you just better change. Huh? No, we learn through experiences and through the experiences of fellow saints. Above all, they learned it from their master. They learned it from Jesus. Jesus said, and he never said to one word to any of us, to any of them, about it being easy. You never hear that. You never hear a song like Easy Street. Huh? There's no such song as a Christian can sing. It's a struggle. It's a battle. But I'll tell you something. It's fun to be in the battle. It's fun to be in the struggle. And when they ask him, are there few that be saved? They asked the question. He didn't answer few or many. He said, strive to enter in. Strive as in a game. Struggle as in a battle. Agonize as he himself agonized in Gethsemane. For many shall seek to enter and shall not be able. And I believe they shall not be able, not because the entrance is impossible, but because they are not willing to pay the price. Therefore, says Paul, and I've had a lot of people down here, and they'll look and you take them through the chart down there, and you see these are the programs they're doing. I've had groups of people in here. Educated people in here that just want to do a work for Jesus. And they come down and they see all these people down here and they see the poverty that's down here and they see people scrambling for old clothes and they see people slurping up soup and eating hamburgers like it's going out of style and rushing for groceries and standing out in lines and standing up in bread lines and you take them down there and you take whole groups and whole churches through and you show them your chart up there and this is going to happen and people need to be educated and people need toilet paper and people need soap and people need toothpaste and shorts and underclothes and socks and money, and you start to tell them all these things, and the next thing you know, you don't see them around at all. Why? Because it's a struggle, folks. You just don't see them. Whole total interested groups will come down, and you'll talk your heart out, and you'll say, well, now that group, I really believe that group is really going to something happen with that group, and nothing happens. Why? You show them the arena. And you show them the crowds. And you show them all the battles they're going to have to put up with and all the struggle to contend with. And they back off. And they back out. And you never hear from them again. Well, what are they doing with their life? God, people, what is there to do if you're not in the battle? Think about it. Do you want to go back out to suburbia where we were, 8 years, 9 years ago? Want to go back out there to Happy Valley, way out there in the suburbs? And just minister to one another back and forth? Do you want that? And we'll just play songs to each other and play on our guitars and make up songs about Jesus and just sit out there and not do anything and people are falling over like flies? Not me. Not me. I don't want to get involved in one more seminar. I don't want to go to one more seminar and sit there with, you know, $400 worth of notebooks. And then somebody charging me, $50 for four little tapes on how to be a Christian. No. I got better things to do with my money. I'll give it to somebody that needs it. And so therefore, says Paul, if you mean to win this game, if you expect to come out the victor in this race, you must be prepared to give your very best. When you go to work in the morning, give your very best. Like Sue, when she comes down here, she paints her very best. Jim gives his very best every day. All you people that are here that are involved, give your very best every day. And is that unique? When you go to work, Paul, when you go on your job, if you give your very best, at least you have that at night when you go to bed. I gave it my best shot. And you don't have to think, well, maybe I should have done this, or I should have done that, or I should have done this. Maybe then the thing would have sold. Or Alicia, maybe I should have done this. No, you give it your best shot every day. Go for it. And if it don't work out, you gave it your best shot. You'll still get your happy marks up in heaven. Preachers, give it your best shot every day. Well, I thought to myself, how do we run to win? Get rid of the handicaps. Positive sin. Get everything you know is wrong. Give it up. Remember that it'll separate you from the will of God. And so wrongdoing can wear you down. Don't carry a bag of hate. So many people walking around with hate in them. This woman was telling me. She started growling. She said, you know what? I just can't give up the hatred for my parents. Well, I says, you know who? Your parents, they aren't even thinking about you right now. You know, it sounds to me like they never thought much of you ever. So while you're busy hating them, they're not even thinking about you. So I said, you go to bed with your parents every night. You hate them, you take them to bed with you. They're one on each side. And you get up in the morning, mom and dad are with you again. When they die, you go right with them. Oh, I'm sure glad you're gone. And then you'll talk about them after they're gone. You cannot be a Christian and walk in a whole lot of hate. Not saying you're going to love everybody. Sometimes it's hard to love yourself. It doesn't say that everybody is. When you get up in the morning, it says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do you get up in the morning and kiss the mirror? Do you? It doesn't say give your neighbor. Do you give yourself all kinds of luxuries? No, you feed yourself granola bars or something when you get up in the morning. A glass of milk, toast, anything. Well, give that to your neighbor if that's all you got. Understand? You cannot walk with that self-control will bring you into all this hate. Oh, I just hate him. She started breathing hard. Hyperventilating. I said, hey, you're going to have a heart attack. No, that's a handicap, I said. Don't carry around a whole lot of nonsense with you. Don't run with a six-pack in each hand. That's an encumbrance. Don't run around. Don't run the race with disco pants and high heels on. And it says, lay aside every sin that so easily besets you. That's a weight. That's an encumbrance. I think some pastimes and practices are innocent in themselves. But in a way, they can slow you down. Well, let's say even a faith teachings without works, all that is so much weight that you're carrying around. Are you hearing that? Faith enthusiasts? If you don't put all that faith that you've learned, and listen, let me point something out. To each person is given a mustard seed of what? What? Faith. You can study books that reach to the ceiling up here, and we're talking 50 feet, and fill up this whole church with faith books, but they're an encumbrance if you don't use them. They're sin. Faith without works is dead. Faith without struggle. Is it unique? No. The world knows that. The world, a lot of times, is more realistic than some Christians. They know they have to get into the struggle to make, they go for it. Lay aside every weight. Maybe some of your teachings are weights. Maybe all the miserable notes you took without doing anything are an encumbrance. Now, remember this, it doesn't help, it only hinders. Like athletes, whatever would slow me down, I must quit. I must lay it aside. I mean, there's a lot of conversations that go on that don't have to go on. Those are weights. Do you ever get into a conversation you shouldn't have been into and your heart is heavy? That's a weight. That's a weight. And then you see the person and you kind of sneak up on them. You don't know what they know or if they do know, or kind of think you walk up on them. I wonder if they know. And you got to back up. That's a weight. Why carry that? Christians, why carry that weight around with you? I can always tell somebody that's got weight on their heart. Huh? They've done something, they get into gossip. Girls, get out of that gossip. Get off the telephone. Go wash your dirty dishes. Go sell all the Pepsi Cola bottles that are down in your basement and buy a brand new car. Weights. So many times, gals, Christian gals even, they'll get into weighting their hearts down. Well, I don't know. I don't want to say anything. Oh, let's don't say anything. Let's pray for so-and-so. And then they talk a prayer back and forth. Lord, help this miserable wretch. You know how stinking lousy she is? They don't use that exact phraseology, but it comes down basically to that, doesn't it? And so they got these encumbrances. And so when they see the person, they're not free with them. Hi, Betty. How you doing? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. They got the same old little cliches. No wonder people think we're nuts. No wonder people think that Christians are nuts. They are. There's a lot of times they're mentals. The charismatic crazies have taken them off into... Not the charismatic movement is off, but the charismatic crazies that are in the movement are off. Are you saved? Oh, I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, sanctified! Huh? Come on now. Hmm? Is that an encumbrance? Does that get through to anybody? No, it doesn't get through to anybody at all. I say, this guy is totally nuts. This person is totally crazy. Then you go over to their house, got weeds this high around the house, dishes aren't done, notes all over, Bibles here and there, they step in between all this stuff, and diapers, and Pepsi bottles, and coffee cups with mold growing all over the sides. Would you say that was kind of a mental? Come on now. Come on. Are you listening on the radio? Somebody's getting hit here. It's the truth, isn't it? Why not get in the struggle of fixing that house up, girls, and take those great big old pop cans out of your hair? Get dressed before noon. Stop talking on the phone. Right or wrong? Well, it's right. Ooh. Encumbrances. Like this guy told me, he says, well, I went out and I snuck up and I had a 410 and this eagle had like a 7-foot wingspan. And he says, I didn't believe it, and I snuck all the way up on this eagle, and he didn't move. He kind of fluttered a little bit, and he didn't move, and I snuck up, and I got him with a 410. I didn't believe it. But you know what he had on his leg, he said? Huh? He had a steel trap on his leg. I says, that's what caught him. It was that extra burden. He had a handicap. Throw away, in other words, every handicap. See, if we handicap ourselves a lot of times by neglecting those helps, there's helps out there. Read your Bible in the morning instead of going on the telephone. 10, 15 minutes. I promised God, a guy told me, I would read my Bible for 2 hours every morning. Well, I said, what time do you have to be to work? He says, I have to be to work at 7. I says, how long does it take you to get to work? He says, it takes me about 45 minutes. I says, do you eat breakfast? Yes, I do. How long does it take you to eat breakfast? He says, 15 minutes. I says, well, there's an hour right there. It means you're going to, right away, that's talking 6 o'clock you have to be up. You're going to read for 2 hours. That means you've got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I says, you're going to be a liar. There's no way you're going to get out of bed at 4 o'clock every morning to read your Bible. So why don't you just talk to yourself and say, I'm going to read my Bible for 15 minutes and be realistic about it. Don't punish yourself. Don't encumber yourself and cause it to be a hindrance to your life. But just get up and read that faithfully. Read that 15 minutes or 10 minutes every morning. How many know that's the truth? You ever started out where you said, I am going to read the whole Bible in a half a year. How many have done something like that? Huh? Did it work for you? Most times you read for a half hour and then you go back. I didn't know what I read. So you're so involved in trying to get done in a half a year, you just try to buzz through it and you don't. All you get is the end, amen part. Can you eat for a whole week on Monday? Can you eat for a whole year in 1 week? No, you just have one meal at a time. Get up, take the Word of God for 10 minutes every morning, and then put it to work. Pray and fast. Oh, that's a dirty word to Christians, fasting. Oh, God, we hate that word. Oh, yeah, I fasted one time. I gave up Russian cookies. Witness. I really felt power in my body after I witnessed to this girl and I led her to the Lord. I just felt, I felt so good. Love God. Well, how do you love God? Well, you love God by obeying me. He says, if you don't obey me, well, how can you say you love me and you don't obey me? Well, what are some of the helps? The guy called me on the phone. What are some of the helps I can do here? I mean, what does the author tell us to use? Well, the Bible says a forward look. It's talking about the race that is before us. So you're looking onto the author and the finisher of your faith. Are you ready for the revelation race? Are you ready for the tribulation? You know, tribulation is coming on planet Earth very, very soon now. Isn't there a song, we're going to have a tribulation? Or is that celebration? I thought it was tribulation. Come on. No, don't run it in circles. Run the race. You can't win by looking backwards at your friends. You can't win by looking at habits or at your Sodom and Gomorrah past. Whew. I remember on TV one time, this was years back, a guy ran 70 yards for a touchdown and he turned around and none of the football players were smiling at him. You know why? He went the wrong way. God isn't going to smile at us. Huh? If we're running the wrong way. Don't make touchdowns for the devil. Keep a forward look, looking onto Jesus, it says, the author and finisher of our faith. And we are to run the race in the realization that we are part of a great team. a team race. You know, like in school, I remember when we ran and we'd pass off the stick, you know, when they have relay races. And then the guy would just start out, you know, going, and he'd go a little bit faster and hit the stick, and then he'd hit it. We're a team. Christians, if you're listening right now, this is a team effort. When someone gets tired, you pass the stick off. The next one takes it. And the next one takes it. And the next one takes it. You don't get out of the race, but you take your turn. You know what? If we would spend, and I say we, so I won't judge, if we would spend as much time building up as we spend tearing down, what a wonderful witness Christianity would be. If we spent, I said, as much time building up in the body of Christ as we spend tearing. Look at TV right now. Huh? Now the Playboy thing. That's going to be in Playboy. What's that tell the world? Tearing down. Isn't that something? And then there's going to be a record come out, Harper Valley PTA type record. Why not forget those things that are past, pressing forward towards a high mark to calling in Christ? Just God, forget it. Forget it. People can't forget things. Huh? Why not forget it? Unless it involves some of your sheep. Forget it and go on. Isn't that right, Jim? God, go on. If I had to sit down and remember every little thing that happened, I'd never go ahead. Forgetting those things that are past, pressing forward towards the high mark to calling in Christ. Why is it that when we tear something down, we can't forget it because it's on our conscience? If you're listening on the radio right now, the reason you can't lay the thing down is because it's nipped you in your conscience, and you're never gonna get right until you just say, God, I'm just sorry, okay, and go on with your life. Are you hearing this? Did you get anything out of this message tonight? That you're going to have struggles? Now you're going to go get F's because I said you're going to have struggles? Huh? No, you're going to go for it. Why? That's the way you are. God made you willing to go for A pluses. Should you go for F's just to be popular with the kids? You know, there's actually kids that do that, though. No, listen, kids, life is a struggle. It is never going to be easy. But isn't it fun to be in the struggle of it? Isn't it? You want to be just a wimp and not be in the struggle of making it? God, hey, come on. Okay, now we're going to close this up right now. You get anything out of this message? I hope you did. You're not supposed to run this race alone. You're not made to run it alone. You're made to run it with the body of Christ. You're part of a great company, the Bible says. Oh, not just spectators. And finally it says, run with patience, and that is patience with endurance. Are you ready to run the race, people? Have you guys your eyes fixed on a goal? Are you ready to run it even though it's costly? Even though you'll meet opposition? Even though you'll be hated sometimes in the house of your friends? Not only did Jesus run in the face of opposition, but he ran in spite of it. Did you hear that? Not only do we run the race because there's opposition, we do run that race, even facing that, but in spite of it. Run it. That's my message for tonight. Run the race to win with a self-control through Jesus' life. And you're always going to have the struggle of living. Oh my God, it's so much fun to be in the struggle. I don't know what I would do if I wasn't in the struggle. Huh? First the suffering and then the joy. That's the message. God, tomorrow is another struggle. Aren't you glad for the struggle? Tomorrow is Saturday. Now there's another struggle coming up. And there'll be hundreds of people down there again waiting, like little birds with their mouths open. Chirp, 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 huh?
That was episode 305. That was part two, the conclusion to self-control. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. If you missed any of Pastor Paul's podcasts, you can go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all the podcasts, show notes, and scripture links. You can also find the podcast by going to www.pastorpaul.org. Up at the top of the homepage, you'll find the blog and the podcast. Be sure to join us next Friday for episode 306, Calmness. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. Gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to
Serve somebody.